asking a lot of questions. Hello? Hello? Yeah? I'll be done at noon. I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee back to order.
Chair?
Yes.
I have an amendment at this time. I'd like to make a motion to amend ONCA 2473, page 68, strike lines 3084 through 3118, and replace with the following section.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Yes.
Those opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Congressman Revar.
Okay, thank you. And of course, this was the amendment to the visitor center. So thank you, committee.
Okay, moving on. ONCA 2474. An act to provide an appropriation in the amount of $841,968 of American Rescue Plan ARPA restricted revenue to Department of Natural Resources and to establish an alternate effective date. And Congresswoman Revard, you are the sponsor.
Okay, thank you, sir. These, of course, as you know, are the non-tribal pieces of their budgets, and I think EPA and 106 and EPA UIC, oh, I'm sorry, we're looking at 74. I'm so sorry, Chair. On 74, the ARPA, that was, these two came down a little bit after the deadline, and these are ARPA dollars that are being requested to be used by DNR. And I think that, Director Heyman, are you on the call?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, I'd like for you to maybe explain a little bit more about the money and why we're using the ARPA dollars at this time instead of any of the other grant funded or your tribal, if you would, please.
Yes, I will speak to the best that I can, and if the treasurer or Rebecca's on the line and needs to jump in, please do. My understanding for the ARPA DNR Butcher House and ARPA DNR Harvest Land are that these, both of these budgets are essentially the restricted revenue that are associated with those programs. Because of the stipulations with the ARPA funds, these have to be accounted for separately so that they can be better tracked. And that's in coordination with Forvis also making sure that we're keeping track of those funds. So that's why these are separate, and it's strictly just the revenue and the restricted revenue. for those programs.
Chair.
Yes.
That is correct. Per Forbis, our consultant for ARPA funding, we have to track the restricted income in Fund 7650, so they would come down as separate. Any tribal allocation to them is recorded under our tribal funds, which is Fund 1000. That is why there is a separation between the two.
All right. Is that you, Ms. Rebecca?
Yes, I'm sorry. I happened to pop in here at the at the right time. I've been working on another project.
Thank
in and out.
Thank you so much. Any further questions? Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes, I just want to remind everybody we did the same in 2024, and they had requested the same, and we're just doing what they had requested last year. And again, it's for transparency of the ARPA dollars. As you guys are well aware, we cannot be operating using ARPA dollars to make money. We have to offset it with the expenses. So this, and Congresswoman Whitehorn had a question earlier. This was received August 12th, 2024 at 2:16 p.m. And it included the ARPA restricted revenue. So they did send down their support docs in a timely manner. And I thought it was after, but it wasn't these two. So appreciate your timeliness. Thank you.
Congressman Whitehorn.
Okay. Probably wasn't in the packet of budgetary stuff I was looking at, since it's would been considered non-tribal. So did it come down? May I ask a question?
Okay. Yes.
Did it come down in a different packet than the big one?
I don't know how it came down and what type of packet, but I know it was split out, and it has a summary sheet of mm-hmm. both the ARPA restricted revenue, and then it breaks down just the same, the detail of each of the programs. I don't.
Okay.
Another question?
Yes, I do, sir. So the budgets that we're looking at for harvest land, and what was the other one? Get it back up. Butcher House. We're appropriating 16,000 restricted revenue. Those restricted dollars, are those earnings that? Okay, so where did that pool of $16,371 come from? Where is that? Is it residing somewhere in a restricted revenue fund right now? Like, if I look on the budget outlay sheet, where are those dollars free and available for appropriation?
Congressman Weaver.
Thank you. So the ARPA, you're not going to see reflected on our projected revenue.
Okay, so where is that total pool of money kept? How am I supposed to know as a Congress member where this $825,000 and the $16,000 reside in our treasury? How am I supposed to know? Is it on one of our reports?
Mr. Chair?
There's yes. a microwave document that tells you which GL code that it's sitting in. I mean, that would be up to the treasurer.
I just wondered how we tracked it here as a body, because I tried finding it last night when I was reviewing these budgets, and I couldn't find a pool of money that had this dollar amount in it on our documents that we keep. We keep projected revenue. So maybe Mr. Frazier can shine some light on it for me.
Yes, Mr. Frazier.
Yes, it is in the projected revenue resolution under the restricted revenue. ONCR 2419.
2419, you sent that to me yesterday. Okay, so it's there for 24 to be. So how much now is left? Is that all that money now? I think that we should keep a report on that, like a running total, like we always do our projected revenue. When we pull out of that projected revenue total, it decreases, and we know what we have a balance. We know we have a balance left. Do we keep that total? That's my question. Is there a way for me to track that and know that we have maybe you know, I'm just off the top of my head, maybe we have $250,000 more dollars in there. Is there a place where congressional members can go and see that?
Executive has a whole team of people that are doing this, and I call on Mr. Zahn or...
Chair.
Yes, Ms. Rebecca.
To answer that question, when we talk about restricted program revenue, it's not going to be something that can be utilized for our projected revenue for all departments across the board because it's restricted. The amount that is given was a collaboration of the Treasury Department as well as the director of what that program may generate for fiscal year 25. What could be done is, and I believe it may be on the sheet, I don't have it in front of me, I just walked into the conference room, but those are going to be the totals. Those totals aren't going to change unless we receive more program income. And I know I stated this in the beginning of session, that is something I am working on, is to track the amount that has been received as far as program income being restricted through ARPA funds. So that is a project I am currently working on to try to streamline that for transparency for Congress and executive.
Thank you, Ms. Rebecca. Follow up.
So, okay, I'm still trying to figure out the $16,000 that's being put in this budget as restricted because it might be earned income, or is it we're truly appropriating money that's sitting there available for appropriation, Ms. Motella? I'm not clear on that, and if you can help me, I would appreciate it.
Sure, yes. That $16,000 is a projection. It's not money that we actually have. It's money that program may receive as income. Yes, it is not definitive. It's not something we have right now. I do want to just put a caveat in there. I am looking at program revenue, restricted program revenue for both Harvest Land, Butcher House, our senior housing as a whole, since those programs have been operational, to know if there is anything that's sitting out there that could be used. But that is a project that I am currently working on, and I have to kind of move between a couple things through audit to make sure that I'm reporting accurately. But those specific ones you are looking at are projections. It's not money we actually have.
May I? So it's program revenue only. It's restricted program revenue that I'm looking at on these appropriations. Is that okay?
Yes.
Now I'm completely clear on that. I think I asked the question to begin with, but I don't think I asked it in the right way. So thank you so much. I'm completely clear on what we're doing here.
Committee, any further questions? Hearing none, we will consider ONCA 2474 as reviewed. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, it is. Okay, committee, any movement?
Move to pass ONCA 2474 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those
aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
Chairman, may I ask another question?
Yes.
And this is to the Treasury office, if that's okay. So in the past, my experience has been if a program doesn't earn the income, you can't budget and spend the income. So because we're making this appropriation, to me means that if income comes in, they're available to spend it in this budgetary line. If the income doesn't meet this level, then they can't spend it, of course. Is that correct to the Treasury?
Yes, that is correct, and also why there is a split between the tribal and the restricted income is what we receive, we're going to expend it as we receive it.
Thank
so,
you.
So, yes.
Thank you. Okay, moving on, ONCA 2475 and section 10, EPA 106.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. This is probably one of the oldest grants or federal dollars I think we received from back. I'm going to say it, if you remember, and you're my age too, Miss Diane Daniels. This came back. Look, where's Van? No, just kidding. But this is a one of the oldest grants I think that we've had, and again, it's been called EPA 106 for I can't remember how long now, but. It is, of course, non-tribal. So the director that manages, of course, is Dr. Heyman. Dr. Heyman, what do you want to speak to your funds?
Yes, and I also have Craig Walker on. I believe he's available, and he can talk more about the specifics of what the grant will accomplish.
Mr. Walker?
Yes, sir. So the EPA 106 grant is a non-point source pollution monitoring grant. As Congresswoman Rebard said, we've had this for some time. It allows us and helps us to monitor the 157 streams and creeks within the Osage Nation Reservation. We do about 10 to 18 sites. We develop a baseline for each creek. To ensure that our water quality from non-point source pollution, i.e. runoff from stormwater runoff or agricultural practices that may trickle into various streams, we try and monitor those things.
Okay. Billy, any questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Walker. We will show section 10, EPA 106 is reviewed. Next would be section 11, EPA UIC.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Again, this is another old grant that we have chose to keep, and this is our EPA UIC, which I believe is the Underground Injection Control is what that acronym stands for, and if I get that right, I probably need to get out of business here because I don't know why that just is. I think that's what the UIC stands for, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Craig, go ahead.
So this is, my understanding is almost how this department got started, basically. In the 84, we took on injection wells in the Osage Nation Reservation. This program and these funds has been a continuation and an evolvement from that, and it's increased over the years. This is definitely something that we've been monitoring for a very long time, and I feel like the Osage Nation does a great job at it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Committee, is there any question on the UIC program? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes, Secretary Heyman, on these budgets, these grant budgets or contract budgets that we're looking at, do you use supplemental tribal funds to run these programs as well? And if so, can you kind of give me a ballpark of what the split is on those?
Are you wanting to talk about UIC in specific?
UIC in specific, but I think that there's a couple of more too that are going to be coming through as well. And I guess that would be my question on all of those. But let's just talk about UIC right now. Do you guys use tribal funds as well to further this program on that we administrate for the federal government?
No, we do not. UIC is 100% federally funded program. Now, that being said, the way the funds are allocated to the tribe is different than other grants that we operate. It almost comes directly in lump sums throughout the whole year. So we coordinate with EPA and we project roughly what EPA thinks we might receive that year. And we do it on a two-year basis for those grants. So we're anticipating, I think, $690,000 over a two-year period for this particular grant application.
Thank you.
Any further questions? If not, we will show Section 11 EPA UIC as reviewed. Next would be Section 28, National Park Services. And I'm not for sure if this falls under Dr. Heyman or Dr. Hunter. Section.
I am so sorry, Chair. I'm not familiar with this program.
Chair?
Yes.
I am also not familiar with this grant, so I do not believe it's under the Cabinet of Natural Resources.
Okay, it probably falls underneath historic preservation then. We will move on to Real Estate Services, Section 31.
Okay, thank you, Chair. This Real Estate Services non-tribal, of course, I believe is their would be their self-governance funds. And is Natasha on the call?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that correct, Natasha? These are your self-governance funds, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
No changes.
This, I don't know whether this one is, again, is non-tribal, so it's about probably the same as last year. I don't know if they're any different from last year in the way that you've decided to budget.
No, not really. I think our professional fees went up. That was just more money towards our appraisals. That was pretty much the only big increase that we had.
Committee, any further questions? Seeing none, we'll show Section 31, Real Estate Services, as reviewed. That would bring us to Section 37, Wildland Fire.
I'm back.
Yes, Mr. Walker, you have the floor, sir.
So this is just, this is our federal budget, our preparedness budget, preparedness with some prevention mixed in. And as I said to Congresswoman Whitehorn when we were discussing the tribal budget, this 156,905 is just a small portion that I would receive if I did not have the support with those tribal dollars. So as you can tell how greatly appreciative I am of your all support and your support of this department, but this is pretty standard. It's a little bit in salaries and wages, employee fringe and benefits, and then really there's $3,645 in operations expense. So there's really not a lot to reference in this budget other than how grateful I am for the tribal support.
Thank you, sir. Committee, any questions? Seeing none, we will show Section 37, Wildland Fire, as reviewed. And that would bring us down to Section 38, Wildland Fire Zero Cost Reimbursement.
This budget right here really is just so that we stay within policy and law of the Osage Nation. And we didn't do this until last year, but basically, again, I alluded to the fact that I need the Osage Nation to be my bank. And then until we can get reimbursements. And so they basically kind of took a calculation of the past 3 years on how much money we reimburse and recover. And this is kind of where we've come up with as far as like travel. Travel includes those assignments when we deploy out of state, as well in state as far as fuel, that's going into vehicles, operation expenses, you know, some of the miscellaneous supplies that we're able to purchase and reimburse to an incident. Not much there on the conference, but like a rental and equipment. I mean, we reallocate a lot of costs as far as rental and equipment maintenance, because we have a lot of equipment. We have a lot of property, you know, Can-Ams, dozers, tractor transports, all our fire engines. You know, we recover a lot of that just general maintenance, monthly maintenance, daily maintenance, annual maintenance. We'll charge those back to incidents. Basically, this is just so that when we're spending money, for example, travel dollars, we're within law and policy until we receive those reimbursements.
All right. Thank you, sir. Committee? Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes, thank you. So what are you giving out in $500 in direct assistance?
I don't know why that's there. I have no other answer to that question, but I don't know why that's there.
We'll get hung up on 500, you watch. I'm just like, wow, look at him. He's doing direct services now. I like it.
Okay. You can scratch it.
All right, thank you.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So, Director Walker, this is much like, I guess, what we were talking about before with Treasury. This is, what, for lack of better terms, what I would say, program revenue for your reimbursements, what you have talked to us about. This just needs a place to be budgeted, so when it does come in, you can spend it. Is that what we're looking at, more or less?
Well, I don't really operate with this $500,000. Like, this isn't, right. I don't have this to pull from or anything like that.
Right.
Basically, what it is, yes, it's more or less, it's money that's coming back to the general funds or general treasury, because, again, for example, when we're traveling back and forth to these wildfires, whether it's within Osage Nation's jurisdictional boundaries or on an out-of-state deployment, we reimburse all those fuels and that travel expenses and the hotel and the per diem and everything. But it's more or less just for us to have in place so that, again, I have to have the money so that I can more or less, you guys are my bank, I have to have it so that I can travel and do that and then just get reimbursed. But yeah, it's more or less revenue coming back into the non-tribal revenue, exactly what it says up top.
Thank you, sir. Any further questions, committee? If not, we will show Section 38, Wildland Fire Zero Cost Reimbursement, is reviewed. Next would be ONCA 2487.
Chairman, have we covered all the sections in 2475 that's been assigned to this committee?
We have one that...
That you still, in yes. 2475, that we still need to mm-hmm. review? Okay, yes.
And that'll probably be on the next agenda.
Okay, thank you.
So that would move us to 2487. And Congresswoman Goodfox, you're the sponsor.
Thank you, Chair. I have a committee substitute dated September 11, 24, stamped in at 9:26 a.m. that I would like to make a motion for the committee to adopt.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Yes.
Those opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
Thank you. So when I filed this bill, originally I had put it into, appropriated to a program. And now it is going to to authorize and appropriate $1.4 million to the executive branch for the purchase of property to house wildland fire and to establish an alternate effective date. And you have a legal description that is attached to it. I do not know where this committee is headed with passing out things before budgets, right? I'll say that. But I am a proponent of this being passed out. This has been a very long time coming. If you have been out to Wildland Fire, you will see that they work in a very small space with 13 people that are there all the time, but that doesn't include when we have Navajo hotshots come in, other people from other parts of the country that are gonna be working wildland fires here in our home area. And I've been out there, and actually Addie's not here, Addie left. So, you know, a couple years ago, Addie Hudgens and I went out and cooked for the wildland firefighters, and we had a lot of, Ross, do you remember that? We had like 25 visitors from other areas, and I was looking around, I was like, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. We have women wildland firefighters having to use the same restroom as the, and it's, you know, it was kind of like a, and I used to tease Ross and say, when I come in here, it's almost like a fraternity house. I've driven by during the evening when these guys and ladies are working long, long shifts, and I have seen them sleeping outside in a hammock. I don't know who it was, but
that was me.
Oh, okay. it's just something that it's a program. Listen, we support all these programs and services, but this is one I have felt for a long time needs to be addressed. They need a proper building. They need room for growth. And this body and the executive office have often talked about what does it look like as we appropriate dollars for each community for fire and rescue and ambulance. And we have talked about what it would be like if our nation had a one-stop rescue management, but we don't even have room right now where we're at for wildland fire. So we have identified a property that could house them now. It needs a little update, but it leaves room for growth. And so that's about all I want to say. Ross, do you want to say anything? And don't be giving out the location again, sir.
Okay. So other than just exactly what you said, we have quickly outgrown this facility. We started, you know, when we compacted this program in 2011, my start date was December 8, 2011. You know, we had Bobby Tallchief, myself, and one other full-time, and then a seasonal hire. And so we started with that. And then slowly through the years, we have expanded and grown. And not only have we as personnel expanded and grown, we've got more equipment. We're doing more things. We're just simply put, we're bigger and better. But again, we do bring in out-of-state resources. It's not just us that we're accommodating. We're hosting these people. And again, I've said it, I bounce between 56, 58 people. The most I've had in this facility is 56, 58 with, yes, one restroom until last year. So we have to run it like a fire camp and do what we do and bring in porta potties. And then even then it's adequate. I mean, you know, we're not going to cry about it. We're firemen. But yes, I do remember when you come out and fed and you and Addie did that. And I have pictures, and yes, I have slept out in a hammock and tied the hammock to the power pole and the front of my, on my ranch hand, on the front of my personal truck, slept in the hammock. And I've done that multiple times. I got pictures of it, so I can show you that as well. Sleeping on the couches in here because we come in at 12:30, but yeah, we got to come back on shift at 6. So, and yes, it is embarrassing to be stuck in basically an old shop and all the updates and modifications we have pretty much done ourselves with the assistance of Tribal Works. But, you know, we've just built walls inside of a building and got a few offices and then got people sitting out in a conference room at, you know, in chairs and a laptop computer. So, yeah, if you want to come take a site visit of a facility and see it, great. But, you know, we got equipment that's sitting out in the weather that needs to be properly housed. I don't know. It is sad. And, yes, we do. We need a new facility. It has been a long time coming. You know, and it's not like this is the first time I've ever addressed it or said anything about it. But, you know, I'm not one to complain either, and I'm going to work with what I got. But we do want to continue to grow. We do want to continue to expand. We want to be better, and that's the direction we're moving forward, or we're moving in. You know, it's forward. We're not going to stop here. So, other than that, I appreciate your consideration in this supplemental request and appropriation.
Thank you, Senator. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I support the bill, but I think that I, as a member of the committee, would like to revisit again, maybe with an executive session on the agenda, so we could have a complete conversation about it. And I agree that we need a facility to house our wildland fire. I believe I've had that conversation with Director Walker probably 5 years ago, because they were having other crews come in and they just didn't have a place to house them. And it was embarrassing for us to have these people down here helping us with our lands and not having a place to put them. So I'm supportive of it. I'd like to see it come back again on an agenda, maybe with an executive session, so it could be fully talked about. That's my take as a committee member.
Congresswoman Rivard and then Congresswoman Redcorn.
Yes, thank you. And to reiterate, I was at Wildland Fire visiting about the restricted land program over a year ago. And my meeting, I think, was an hour, but here come another meeting. And there was so many people coming in from the region, a lot of other folks that looked like they were higher up. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was, I thought, here we are hosting these folks. And they meet there, and then Ross takes them up to Treasury to try to educate our folks on the reimbursements and things of that nature. But it was, I just thought, oh my gosh, here are these folks. These aren't the wild. To me, they didn't look like the firefighters. They look like leadership, you know, talking about big, you know, money issues and things of that nature. But I also wanted to ask the sponsor after if you consider, you know, that we add language that say it's going to the capital asset fund, not just the executive branch, because typically in our language on with regards to cap assets, we always make sure that it's going into that revolving fund. And I'm just wondering if we could maybe reconsider that. If we choose to meet again, Chair, if that's your wish, to meet again and go in executive session, or that we get it out today, I don't necessarily need to go in executive session as a committee member to discuss this, but I am more concerned that it go into the proper revolving fund and not just open to the executive branch.
Congresswoman Redcorn and then Congresswoman Goodfox.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, let me yield to Congresswoman Goodfox first so she can answer that question, and then I have questions for Mr. Walker, if that's okay.
So I, I'm open to discussion, and you're co-sponsoring. Your name is on here. That was when I was approached about this. That was a question that I had was, are y'all wanting this out of the general treasury? What's the real property purchase fund? Is that going to play a role? And of course, I was told no. We've got things that we're looking at for that money, and we want this to come out of the general treasury. And so I would be a proponent of the other revolving fund. I'm okay with that, the real property purchase. With this being,
that this makes being, sense.
And we have a description of, we have the legal description included in this. So then we know that this amount is going to purchase this property, and we're not stuck in a situation where we're like, no, we didn't say that, you know. That's my thoughts.
Congresswoman Redcorn, and then comment.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Walker, I'll be brief. You touched on some of this the other day, but I had some questions I was thinking about after the fact. Do you all, what shift structure do you all use? Are you 24 on, 48 off, or do you do a different type of structure?
So that's a good question. Wildland Fire structure is totally different. So when, as you know, we're a primary wildland fire department, and that's what we do. So we have fire seasons. So during our fire season, when we are not busy, which is not very often in Oklahoma, but let's just say, for example, July, when everything is green and we're not having many wildfires, we work a normal 40-hour week, and we have that structured to where some of us work. We work 4-10s, so some of us are here Monday through Thursday, and then some of us are here Tuesday through Friday. To jump into fire season, according to policy, we work a 2-to-1 work rest ratio. So basically what that means is there's 24 hours in a day. We are allowed to work up to 16 hours, but then we have to go down for a mandatory 8, unless we're on an incident or something like that that requires us to extend past that 16-hour shift. Then we write a justification on why we exceeded our 2-to-1, but then we have to catch back up on that 2-to-1 as soon as possible, or as soon as, you know, conditions allow. With that being said, when we travel, or let me stay on our home unit. So on our home unit, we can work up to 21 days with one mandatory day off in there. So during fire season, a lot of times I may work 18 straight, take a day off, and then come back in and work and reset for another 21. And or I work 14 and take 2 days off. But we work some long hours. It is what it is. And then when we go out of state, for example, out of state will be a couple different scenarios. So if I travel out of state, like this last deployment, I worked 14 days, but I was gone 20. Your working days are exclusive from travel. Well, I went to Oregon. I had a 29-hour trip. And I was traveling by myself. So according to policy, I'm only allowed to travel so many hours per day by myself with a single driver. So it took me 3 days to get there, and it took me 3 to get home plus my 14. But when I returned home, I had to take a mandatory 3 days off to set back and get to that work rest ratio. So answer your question, it's just a 2-to-1, but when we're home, we're all hands on deck. And yes, we do got to manage fatigue. I prefer to keep people to work 14, make them take 2 days off. But sometimes in March, April, that don't allow. Sometimes we have to extend out to 20 and then take that 1 day off and come back on. But wildland fire, it's a job we choose, and it's a job we love, and we do it for a reason. But it's a sacrifice, and it's you got to have a really good significant other to tolerate it. I'll say that.
I would agree with you. Will this new space allow for you all to rest well on site when needed? And in doing so, will you have separate space for your female firefighters and for your male firefighters to get adequate rest, maybe shower, refresh, But will it also enable them to stay handy and available if needed because it is a large fire?
Absolutely. It will.
Okay.
And there's plenty of restrooms. There's plenty of room for that. What you basically said in, you know, independent housing or however you want to phrase that, but yes, male and female.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Is there also cooking space available to you all? Cause I know you're not a traditional firehouse. So I just want to make sure that you all are able to replenish and re-nourish yourselves when you are in those seasons. But then I'm getting head shakes that there are, yes, but.
There is a full kitchen. There's full laundry. There is everything in this property that we need.
Perfect. The last question I have, because I know we're up against a time wall as well, is when I was driving in and listening to you speak earlier, you said you would eventually like to get into structure fire, a structure fire situation where you could handle those as well. And so I wonder if this property would allow for you all to potentially build some sort of structure that allows you to train not only yourselves but others and be a resource to do structure fire trainings and just to continue training on your own.
Yes, this facility absolutely allows for that. This property, yes, there's no other way to put it. Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. Thank you. That's all I have.
Chair.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. At this time, I'd like to move to amend ONCA 24-87, line 16, strike wildland fire, and insert the real property purchase fund. Line 24, strike wildland fire, and insert the real property purchase fund.
A motion and a second.
And I do have some discussion. I don't remember ever amending into a committee sub. Is there direction on that? Am I doing this properly? Do you amend the committee sub or do you amend the original?
You amend the committee sub because this is now adopted by the committee. And so the original filed bill no longer exists. The committee sub does.
Okay.
But you stated that in your motion that it's to change the committee sub. But you might just throw in that it's the committee sub from September 11th, stamped in at 9:26 a.m.
Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Mr. Frazier.
The way I wrote the, I apologize to Congresswoman Rivard. I wrote the amendment and I was basing it on the original document. So the lines, Congresswoman Redcorn just pointed out the lines are not the same.
Okay, yes. So when she was reading that and I was I was reading the committee sub, I was like,
no, I'll withdraw my motion at this time and then I'll restate. I want to make sure that we get this correct. And I apologize, Chair. I've never amended into a committee sub. So I apologize. Yeah,
once the committee sub is adopted, this is the new document.
So is there going to be movement?
I am okay. I know it's you're past your time. I'm okay postponing this and putting it on another agenda. I am impartial to whether we go into executive session to discuss this. I don't need to, but we've heard from one member that they do, and that might be a deal breaker if for them to vote yes or no, yes to support the appropriation. So I will move at this time to postpone bill number ONCA 2487, committee substitute, to the call of the chair.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Those opposed? Motion passes.
Motion to adjourn.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
except Maria, I didn't know. I've never
I probably been would have been okay going into executive session had Ross not accidentally said where it's at. And we know where it's at. It's right out here. But any other time, I'll probably be like, yeah, everyone needs to know where it's at. But